Well, next Sunday, thank you very much, Greg, for those worship songs. Next Sunday, we're launching our summer series, God Our Shepherd. And so today, we're going to wrap up our Blessed series. And as I thought about wrapping it up, I thought about who better to invite as an outside voice but my friend Greg Lang. And Greg is going to give us both a local and a global perspective on this idea of Bless. So Greg is a regional mobilizer with MB Mission, Multiply. And you see his table out at the back there in the lobby, and he would love to chat with you after the service. Let me pray for you, Greg. Oh, Lord Jesus, now we just open our hearts to hear your word. So use your servant, your son, Greg, to speak to us at this moment, I ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rick, and good morning, church. That was like better than average. Welcome. Good job. Yeah. Really honored to be here. And I got a real sense of the family that you all get to enjoy here through the service this morning. What a privilege to be able to stop in, see how things are going, and feel very encouraged. I am encouraged. I hope you are too, about what the Lord is doing in your midst. This message this morning, with this theme of being well-prepared and well-sent, really does mean to be a not just a transition, but a springboard of your call into service for everyone. I thought this is kind of like graduation season, right? Like high school grad, university convocation. Well, this is Bless Series Graduation Sunday, if we could turn that phrase. You're all being commissioned to go, and can't wait to hear what the Lord will do by your testimony. A couple of words of introduction on behalf of our agency. So for some of you, you're like, Multiply, is that the same as MB Mission? Yes, for 10 points. Everything needs a new name, and there's a whole story behind that. But so Multiply is our agency name globally, and I am the honor of representing our North American Mennonite Brethren Conference, which you're a part of, and this is your family ministry, if you think of it in those terms. So everything that we talk about, all the stories that we want to share, are your stories of participation and partnership. So thank you for that. A couple of quick numbers. We are working presently in 65 nations. There's 81 sent long-term workers from North American MB Conference. And there are 22 long-term workers sent from other global MB conferences. And this is a growing global ministry. And again, for those of you who maybe are not from a Mennonite Brethren background or wondering, you know, is the denomination like the big deal? Well, no, the kingdom of God is the big deal. Just saying, on behalf of this part of the family, there's some really exciting things to update you on, including locally. So you see, the mission of God is moving forward. And, you know, there might be an amen in the house there. The mission of God is moving forward. You guys are good at audience participation. I can see that. Yeah. Mission of God's moving forward, but not necessarily the same as we've always done. So as an agency, we are, you know, around 130 years old, you know, not me personally, but representatively, and we still send long-term workers. But the way that the mission is moving in these times is with agility or shifting methodology. Like, this should always be the case that, you know, we just don't keep doing the same thing. It's like, what is going on? What are these times within which we're living, which Greg just referenced, and how, as a mission, do we need to adjust our service? And one of the ways that we've done that, and it's pretty exciting to say, you know, as a rather older agency, to say, we've never done this before. So you folks, I believe, have been introduced to the Passy family, Arun and Anjana. So this is our first time of being a receiving agency, as far as we're aware. You know, we had our historian, I think this is, you know, it's been a long time, but I think this is our first time, because we're a sending agency. We're now a receiving agency, bringing national leaders, proven, fruitful national leaders from the global church to Abbotsford, because we need help. We need cross-cultural coaching help with this particular people group, which is ultra unreached in the world and in Abbotsford. So Humility is always a good thing. We ask for help, and we are now learning how to be a receiving agency. In the same way, we work with national leaders like Max and Anya. And, you know, as a global church, and if anyone watched the news in the last 24 hours around what in the world has just happened in Ukraine and Russia, that whole area, well, Max and Anya, who many of you have had a long time friendship with, or more, I even have been, do I see Evie over there? Even in, like, this is your story. And some of you have been to visit. Like, this is so real. And as you work with them, and this is a picture that I just got yesterday from Max of the wedding of their daughter, so the new son-in-law. Like, this is such good news of great joy. So I asked Max, would you want to send some greetings to Grace Point? He said, absolutely. So this is, like, fresh from Zaporozhye, Ukraine. Like, pretty cool, hey? Like, dear Grace Point Church, I get a little touched here. This is, like, personal. Anya and I, Max, we continue to stay and serve in our hometown of Zaporozhye. Our daughter, Katya, and her husband, Bogdan, they got married just a month ago, praise God, are here with us. We support each other during this time of distress and are very thankful for your prayers and support. The situation in our area is quite unstable. He sent this yesterday. I'm like, you are not exaggerating. The front line is only 50 kilometers from us. Are you listening to this? Like, that's not that far. Although the last couple weeks has begun to move further back due to the counter-offensive operation. And he makes some comments about the dam that was blown up and how close the nuclear plant is. If you're watching the news, this is all very much at hand. So specifically, he updates that we keep providing leadership at the New Hope Center and God's Family Church. Since the beginning of the war, the center has been offering temporary shelter and psychological support for refugees and local population. The church has grown due to refugees joining the services, people hearing about the hope of Christ in the middle of what in the world is going on, and being welcomed into family. So we serve and worship God in a very interesting time in Ukraine. We're changing. People around us are changing. We see God at work! Exclamation point. I mean, be encouraged here. Like, this is a terrible situation, and Jesus is redeeming. We're thankful for him keeping us safe and allowing us to stay and serve at our home city. Once again, thank you for your prayers. We feel them. We need them. Hope to see you, friends, face-to-face sometime to share more and pray together. Till then, pray for peace in Ukraine. Pray for victory over evil. From Max and Anya. So now you're up to date. Global church is hard-pressed, but fruit is rising in the harvest. I invite you to turn with me to our first text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3. And speaking of being hard-pressed, 1 Peter was written as a book to a church suffering within a difficult time, trying to figure out how to navigate their situation and how to live fully present, not in denial, fully present, with true and living biblical hope. So as we move forward with the message today, we want to make sure that it's clearly an extension of this excellent Blessed series that you've had. I've watched each of them. In fact, I was saying to Rick this morning as I came in, I'm looking forward to seeing your faces because I've seen the backs of your heads from the movie, from the video camera online there. So hi, everyone. Good to see you. Handsome bunch. This series has been super helpful. Like, I've been blessed and challenged and equipped. We want to consolidate that and help you to be really well-prepared and well-sent to share your story within the story of God. So, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. I hear a little theme in the Spirit as I'm with you this morning. Don't be afraid. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So you get the sense of like, wow, it is not a happy, easy time to be a Christian in those times. And you might say, that might feel familiar, not just in other parts of the world, but how about here? So some quick points to emphasize here. First, rather than fearing the people at hand, they're to have reverence or awe for Jesus. Blessed assurance, church, family, blessed assurance. Secondly, it's all about our heart. Now, this will sound familiar from the series. How many times did you say that? Well, first Steve and then Rick. Like, it's about your heart, extending from your heart. Peter David's writing in his commentary on this text, he says, the call is more than an intellectual commitment to truth about Jesus, but for a deep commitment to him. Like one might say, it's the difference of knowing about Jesus or actually knowing Jesus. Your best sharing arises from your best caring. Like, do you care? Is that compassion in your heart coming from the Holy Spirit? Well, this is where all sorts of good things will be open before you. It's all about hope, friends. This is the theme of the book of 1 Peter, faith and hope in God in the face of difficult circumstances. Again, finding the way forward. They are to be prepared to share about this hope, but to live with and share with gentleness and respect. Live well, like this is the last two S's, I think, and bring it together. As you serve, like people should notice how you're serving. You're not showing off, right? Like you're just literally, like because you care, you're serving. And how you share are both with gentleness and respect. So it's about being ready and also having the correct posture of how you go about that. So we want you to be well prepared to share your story with your neighbor, whether across the street or around the world. And we just want to quickly review last week with this handout that each of you received as you came in. You know, might be some of you thought, oh, good, I got through last week. What's next? Oh, he actually means we're supposed to share. Like, actually, right? All of us. Everyone. So we made a handy handout for you. We've done with our agency some teaching all over on the, if we're not working on this, you might wonder, what are we doing? But we do want to help people be equipped to share their faith and live well in the meantime. So, quick handout. What this is not is there before you. It's not a technique. It's not a speech. It's not a pitch. It's not a theology class. There are yearnings that most people everywhere would have around yearning for freedom, yearning for belonging, for adoption into family, yearning for purpose. Why am I here? These are common to people. And these are typical doorways that you will find people being open to explore spiritual concepts. It's really true. It's open before you. And this is where if you understand your time, you're paying attention, you can realize, well, my friend or this person who I'm just meeting has, like, they're expressing anxiety about, concern about, and like, wow, I think I could tailor my story to fit this particular moment. You can do that. So it's a discovery process about your testimony. Everyone has a testimony. One time when we did this training, one of the pastors came to the microphone at the break and he said, I found my testimony. It was a pastor who wasn't quite sure he had one because, you know, like there's this, for people that are especially born and raised in a church or churchy kind of environment or family, you know, you've followed and, you know, maybe like myself at a young age, you said the prayer and, you know, it was sincere as much as you can be at five. Like seriously, like you're sincere, but you sometimes are growing into your testimony. But there are those times where you realize, yeah, speaking for myself, it's like, man, left to myself, it's all about me. And I'm not satisfied with that. And Jesus, I remember being confronted while in university about someone who spoke the truth with a lot of, well, his wife spoke the love, but he spoke the truth. Lang, you're one of the most selfish, individualistic people I've ever met, talking to me. I'm like, now the first word selfish I knew, individualistic, I had to look it up. Oh, that's all about being about me. It's like super selfish. Oh, it's kind of like our culture. So anytime that I found anyone say, gee, you really care and you're really like so interested, I'm like, that's my point to say, left to myself, frankly, I don't care. And you might think that's kind of like strange to say, but it's just true. But this is what the Lord has done, what Jesus has done in my heart to give me care for you, because it's not about me. So let's talk about you. You know, this is your testimony. So in our training, because some people are like, I need a Bible study, you know, okay, so here's a Bible study largely from the book of Acts, 5 different types of testimony. On-the-spot conversion, conviction, belief from evidence of God's power, that's a little, what do they call that, foreshadowing of where we're going this morning with the story from Southeast Asia. Belief from evidence of God's power, signs and wonders. Oh, what does that mean? Saved from a storm or a tight spot or a reset of your life to come back on track. So on the back side is a, again, please, if you have not yet done this, or if it's been a while, sit yourself down, pray, prepare, gather, and write it out, and then practice in a safe, you know, with someone who can be safe to practice with, and try it, and hear your own voice, and get over the awkwardness, and realize, wow, actually, I have a testimony, because everyone does who's a follower of Jesus. The main point is that you would be prepared to share. Now, I was just up in Fort St. John last month, and if you're following the wildfire news, like it was pretty crazy as we came out of the worship service. This is your sister church, North Peace, up in beautiful Fort St. John. In the background is not a snow-capped mountain. That's the huge forest fire that's still going on. And as we came out of the building, like, wow, like for me, like I'm thinking that's really close. And the local people, you know, they're watching it carefully. They're, you know, the wind is continually going in the right direction. Well, the next day the wind changed, and everybody's cell phones went off with an evacuation alert, like be prepared. And suddenly, the lineup at the gas station for people to top up, because I meant to top up my gas tank before the evacuation alert. Like, darn. Hearing the stories of people sort of, you know, running around the house taking pictures of all their rooms just in case it's a catastrophic loss for insurance. I meant to do that before I actually had to. Honey, where's the will? I know. It's like, this is, are you actually prepared? And again, it's not like they didn't know there was a fire, and I'm not making light of them. Like, this is our human condition. So you could ask the question, like, are you ready to share? Are you prepared to share your testimony? Because you never truly know when you're going to have the floor, and you need to be ready to actually have an answer. When your neighbor turns to you and asks this question, like, so I see you going out every Sunday morning. I see you being relatively, like, hopeful when the rest of us don't understand what's going on. Like, what's your story? Like, people can ask you that. Are you ready? Because at that point in time, you can't make an appointment for... for when you're actually ready. Be ready before you need to be ready is the theme of today. And you certainly can't weasel out by giving your pastor's business card or saying, well, now we have I just learned Natalie is an apologist. She actually studied like apologetics. Like, you actually have on your staff a specialist. You could get her card. I don't think that's going to be satisfactory for your friend. Now, there is a great point for apologetics. I don't want to dismiss the value of someone who's actually put in the extra time to be extra ready. This is a resource for you. Ask her questions about how to be more prepared. But in the meantime, don't miss the opportunity to love your neighbor. This is all of our calling. We want to redefine normal, that sharing your faith story becomes more common, more natural, more enjoyable. And I want to say, as a personal testimony, like, I'm not one of those like natural born evangelists who kind of like, you ever watch people like, how do they do that? It seems like every conversation just turns so easily. They're talking about the Lord, and it's like, well, that's not my natural state. But I want to say, as I've become more and more experienced and practiced in what we call gospel conversations, it's actually delightful. It's not a duty to share your faith. It's not a duty. It should be delightful. And this is what I want to say from my own experience. Like, man, that's actually like, it's cool when you realize, wow, like this person who I either, you know, nothing's random, who I'm just talking with, and there's this opportunity to share. It's like, wow, what's the Holy Spirit doing in their life? You know, so you go into the whole, you know, one more time, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And ask the person a question that seems to be informed by the Spirit, and don't be too surprised when they go like, wow, how could you know that? And because the Lord loves them and knows them. This is all so encouraging to be in the midst of. So we want to say, without a doubt, yes, these are crazy times. The pandemic times brought much to challenge and change, but some things remain the same. Back to our theme song, Blessed Assurance. The heart of God for the lost is unchanged. The call of God to go is unchanged. And the need for workers to be well sent is why we're here. Now, yes, I am a representative of Multiply Mission Agency of the MB Conference. We're commonly referred to as a sending agency. But that said, we want to be really careful to emphasize that the actual senders of people are God and the local church. We're alongside as sort of support services, if you would. God sends people, everyone. The local church, boy, you guys are modeling that, laying on hands and sending people. It's like, okay, so you get this. This is the work of the local church. We work together. I just want to say, as a pastor for almost 20 years in Vancouver, and then with the role with denomination as a mission rep for over 10 years, here's what I've seen, that people mean well, but they often stop by on the way out the door, metaphorically or actually, to ask for the blessing and support of the church as they leave, presuming that they're following the call of God. Maybe not in White Rock, but that's what happens at other places. See, in our best case scenario, a person, a couple, a family are well involved in the community life of a church who, with them, discern the call to mission, and then the church sends them, and with that affirmation of call, we become involved and we work together. But I want to put this another way, that from across the street, someone leaving and someone being sent might not appear that much different. But what's actually happening could not be more different. Someone leaving is, well, they're leaving. As a longtime pastor, I say that like, oh, like, I hope that, like, because, bye. But someone being sent, so powerful, so powerful. You know, quick. A personal story, as I was praying about, discerning about moving from Toronto area where I grew up to Vancouver to attend specifically Regent College for theology masters. It was a pretty big deal to move from my hometown across the whole country, and I had done, let me tell you, I had plenty of enough experience leaving to people, oh, there goes Greg again. Hope this is good. And I come back, and they welcome me back. But this time I thought, okay, for once in my life, I'm gonna try to do this right. So with my community group, I said, look, I, I'm like, you know me, you know my interest in Asia and wanting to be well prepared to, you know, potentially be a long-term missionary in Asia. And this, there's a school, Regent College, that I found. So I said, would you pray with me? And they said, yeah. So they gathered and prayed, and they said, let's come back next week, and we'll tell you what we hear the Holy Spirit say. I'm like, okay, that's good, because in a week and one day, I'll be on my way. Well, they came back, and they said, absolutely, fully agree that this must be God's call. Like, it just seems like it all lines up. It's like, yes, sounds great, but the timing's not right. And if there was a t-shirt with God's word for me on it, it was, for 3 years, young man, sit down. Well, that's very awkward. Apparently a little thick, but it was about the timing. And when it was time, the same group of people sent me, and I'll never forget, I get this one handshake. Have you ever had that handshake which has the cash inside? That's a very nice handshake, you know? It's like, yeah. And the brother said to me, you know, I moved from the Maritimes to Toronto, and this is all the money I had. And it wasn't the same money, but figuratively. And he said, I want to send you to Vancouver with what I had from the Maritimes. I'm like, obviously, I never forgot that. Like, that is, and other people in their own way helping to send me. I could have just left. Jesus is a good redeemer. Isn't it better to be sent? Well sent. So who does the sending? God sure does. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and the first 6 verses here. If you're familiar with the book of Luke, this narrative will sound very familiar. Just one chapter earlier, Jesus had sent out the 12 with a very similar commissioning. This time, however, it is the 72 or 70. We won't squabble on the number. But there's some important things that are happening here. So after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to go to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone along the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you, which is a very interesting verse, isn't it? About peace, you extending your peace to a person of peace. And if it's not received, it comes back to you. This is a curious thing Jesus is saying, but it's all about peace. Sending to promote peace, which is the presence of Christ in his kingdom. So in other words, this 12 to 72 is a widening core, a widening group of people. Some people comment that this is moving from like the professionals to like more and more everyone being involved as an emphasis that they go ahead of Christ, like we go ahead of Christ in advance of his second coming. So how should they go? They should go 2 by 2. They should go praying. They should travel light. They should receive hospitality and settle down. They should heal the sick, foreshadowing, and share about the kingdom of God. Well, the trip was a great success, but they seem to have missed the point. In their debrief, Jesus has this pattern of teaching, sending out, and having a debrief, which is what we do as an agency with everything that we do, all of our programs that we do, short-term, long-term, some training, have the experience, and come back and debrief. So important. What happened? How will this take root in your life and go forward? Well, they visibly are very excited because they say, even the demons submit to us in your name, and Jesus is quick to settle them down and emphasize that they should have been more excited that their names are written in heaven. Interesting, hey? Well, before I share a story of global mission advance that I keep talking about, we need to talk quickly about this important topic of sending. Who does the sending? God. Jesus proclaims to his disciples in John 20, as the Father sent me, so I send you. How was Jesus sent by the Father? Well, he was sent with authority and empowering. He was sent with compassion and with sacrifice to bring peace. In our text, we read about how Jesus sent them to go. They're directed to pray as they go. About prayer and as they depart, is it just me, or did you expect a different point of prayer? As they're sent out, pray to the Lord of the harvest that, what would you expect? That there's a lot of harvest, right? that seems presumed that the seed is of such good quality and it will be sowed with compassion and power and authority that there will be too much harvest. So go as you pray and ask for the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers from the harvest. Now, it's easy to lose in translation what Jesus is saying here, and I don't want to try to get fancy with some Greek. You know, people say, oh, there goes the pastor, getting fancy, talking about the Greek. Well, but actually here, this is really important. So in Luke 10, verse 2, there is send in English. It's the same word, but stay with me and go to the next slide. In the Greek, the first and the third are the same word, like the same base word. The one in between is a different Greek word. Oh, are you curious? Let's look at the next one. The first and the third, verse 1, verse 3, is apostello. Apo, away, stello, send. Send away, that sounds like it makes sense. To delegate, a messenger, one sent forth, to send out literally. But the middle one, verse 2, is a totally different Greek word. It is akbalo. There are two meanings to this term, generally speaking. The first is violent. The second is nonviolent. The first one is the phrase of to cast out, to tear out, to reject. So in other words, deliverance ministry, evil spirits sent packing. Akbalo, send them away. Okay. Go! Now, it's not just because we're Mennonite Brethren Church that we prefer the nonviolent, but it's kind of funny. The second meaning is to draw out, to extract or bring out of, to bring forth. Ooh! From the harvest, they're supposed to be the actual workers. So, this is why we need to understand these different terms of send. So I've summed it up on a slide here. So he apostolo them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out to akbalo laborers. I apostolo you. Okay, is this kind of like, interesting. So where will the laborers come from, the harvest? And the harvest. The laborers come from the harvest. You need more workers, laborers, leaders in your church. It could be that they're still in the harvest of your relationships, not yet having said yes to follow Christ. This is your assignment, to go out praying for more workers and find them and help them to find their calling. So let's look at what the Lord of the Harvest is doing today in the small, landlocked, and beautiful nation of Laos. This Southeast Asian nation has almost 8 million people in a land area that's about 25% of the size of BC. Just let that settle. We have about 6 million people, last time I looked, in BC. So they have 8 million people in about 25% of the land of our province. This country is what we call a restricted access nation with an official Buddhist heritage of those living there. The Joshua Project, if you're interested to learn more about people groups, the ethnos of the world, look up the Joshua Project. This is your one-stop shop for all the stats that you'd ever want to know about how people groups and the reception of the gospel. It's amazing. They identify there's 126 ethnos, people groups in the country of Laos. Like, okay, that's a lot. So this would be where you start to part and parcel with language and receptivity. But after the Lao, the second largest group is called the Kamu, and it's among the Kamu people group that we've actually seen a church planting movement arise by God's grace. This is the coolest stuff to see happen. Historically, they're animist, not Buddhist. That means that maybe like some of your neighbors, they look in the rocks and the mountains and the trees as not like the biblical sense of like creation by the creator, but like, ooh, the God in the rock, the God in the tree. Like it's an ancient and common religious, it's not so much a like a system of belief as much as it is, it's animist. So if you want to get their attention, and this is what happens, is something like a sign or a wonder happens. So typically evangelists will go into a village that's unreached, and typically they'll find someone who's sick, even unto death, and the local witch doctor has been found to be ineffective, unable to actually do anything. So they say, can you guys do anything? And they, you know, in calmly and in Jesus' name, pray for the sick. And when they are healed, the whole village goes, what just happened? Who is this Jesus? What, like, this is, remember I talked about testimony. It's a response to the sign and the wonder. A sign should point you to something. The point of a sign isn't the sign. I just drove down from Vancouver this morning. There's a lot of signs, all sorts of signs. They talk about something. So the evangelists step into that moment and introduce Christ because Jesus is more powerful. So the gospel is planted. God has raised up leaders from the harvest, local Kamu leaders, and this has actually led to an actual church planting movement. So there's hundreds of small churches across the country. Again, it's not like, you know, your beautiful facility with, you know, it's like more under a tree or local gatherings. Got to think small is beautiful and big is beautiful too. It's just, if you're going to live in a, do you know what restricted access nation means? It means if you're going to be a public follower of Christ, you're probably quickly going to jail. Something like that. Like you have to really keep, be very wise. But that's not to say the gospel doesn't advance, hey? So here's a story I heard a couple weeks ago of fresh advance. One of our leaders told the story of how there was this village with no gospel presence, and it was ethnically divided. There was Kamu and another ethno. So they were kind of like one village but two people. I'm looking at, you know, you people and those people. You people and those people. So they went into the village. This is the local leaders. They asked how they could help. In the end, they discovered the local school was in really bad condition. They mobilized funds and had a new school built. Everyone's super excited that their kids are no longer, you know, in a difficult, you know, bad kind of environment. It's wonderful. Well, they get chatting, and the opportunity arises to have a Christmas celebration, which they're totally open for. Like all around the world, people know about Christmas, but it's largely Santa Claus, the tree. I used to live in Bangkok. You should see the Christmas tree that they have outside the mall. Like, wow, what a Christmas tree. Not so much about Christ. But they took the Christmas story with this village, brought everyone together, shared about Christ. The Holy Spirit moves, and out of this arises a believer who becomes a leader from the harvest, a local leader who is planting the gospel, bringing peace and reconciliation in the village as the local church is planted. This is happening right now in a really difficult place to follow Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. Be encouraged, church. Now, as you hear that story and your heart is so warm, you know what t-shirt they would wear if they had one would be, and I heard this again from our regional leader. He said these Laotian Kamu pastors have this saying that they're ready, they're prepared, they're ready to eat. You're like, I feel like I know these people. I too am ready to eat. What they really mean is like you only can eat when food's available. So if there's food, you better eat. Always be ready to eat because you actually don't know when the next one's coming. Yes. Okay, ready to serve. Hey, that fits the blessed series too. We got eat and serve. But they also emphasize that they're ready to die because they correctly understand that they're dead in Christ. You know, you can't kill me, I'm already dead, would be a way of saying, it's like, and it's not being macabre, it's like just literally biblically true. Like they're alive in Christ. They will always be alive in Christ. So they go out with this boldness, recognizing of the call that they have. So as we close, we want to invite you to journey together on mission with Christ. As you go literally to the lobby, I welcome you to stop by the table. You get a free pen. These pens actually work, I'm very happy to say. You don't want a sketchy pen. You can also pick up the brand new brochure about Trek. It's back. It's our gap year program, which is waiting for you to sign up and get some more info about that. If you're thinking, I am more interested in learning about being a global worker, we have a program of training called Focus Internship I'd love to share with you. Please take the People in Prayer, which we call it our prayer guide. It's got all sorts of people you can go through and pray over and commit to the Lord. How is God nudging you to be available to consider to serve across culture, even here? If you're here watching this morning and you're a follower of Christ, you are already sent to be a blessing and to bring a blessing. But are you prepared? This is your homework, to take the little piece of paper and get ready to actually share. If you're not yet at peace with Christ, let today be the day of salvation, my friends. Blessed assurance, is that not you? You're not so sure? Let today be the day. Having that confidence and peace in Christ. Grace Point family, we want to freshly commission you to live the blessed life. Allow this promise from the book of James, the teaching of Jesus, and the example from the book of Luke to give you a very hopeful picture of what the Lord of the harvest wants to do with and through you as you obey his call to go. The end of time. All we would ever hope to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you followed. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness, James promises us. Will you pray with me as we close? Father, thank you for the extraordinary testimony from the faithful in Laos, in Ukraine, in so many other places. Thank you for the faithful testimonies that are within this house of faith. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, as we've already sung and cried out to you, fill us, move us, send us out to plant the gospel in the harvest that will see the workers arising, that the kingdom would advance for your glory. Amen.